Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Hey, mate.
Yeah.
You know how we always do this little bit before we play the music in?
Yeah. It's a good bit. I like it, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should just be really up. I think people want, like, something positive right now.
Okay, mate. Okay. Yeah, that sounds like a reasonable thing to do. Let's do that then.
Okay, cool. I've got a story about British people massacring indigenous tribes.
And I've got a story about some sleepy sheep.
Okay, yours definitely hit the brief there. Well done. I'm going to fire myself.
Date fight!
Hello there, welcome to Date Fight. It's the podcast that takes great things that happened on this day in history and pitches them against each other.
He's Jake Yap, I'm Nat Tapley, and together we have approached the sink of time and are turning on both taps to see which produces the sweetest entertainment history.
Water.
I'm going to take you to the 17th of March, 403.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Triple digits. Nice.
Yeah. I thought people would be quite... Some people, of course, will be settling into isolation today. So today's... We got over our isolation. Today's have been selected by my son. Instead of doing any history homework, he's selected today's things. So he's selected...
That's
in 403.
So cool.
Yeah. I decided he should do my work for me. It's amazing. If anyone has a chimney that needs cleaning, I've got a really good idea.
Yeah, the thing is, if I did that, all I would get would be like, well, on this day, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there was a battle on the ice planet of Hoth.
Ooh, we could actually set that. We could get them to record it too. Oh, then we don't have to do anything at all.
Here we go.
Anyway.
Still have to edit it now.
Yeah. So, in 403, St. Patrick, the Roman Briton, son of Calpurnicus and Conchessa, who was the grandson of Politus, who was a priest. But Patrick didn't believe any of that nonsense. He was a modern, secular Roman Briton of the mid-5th century. Except when he was 16, he was captured by Irish pirates on the 17th of March and taken to Ireland, forced to work for 6 years as a shepherd and a slave, during which time he found Jesus in his heart.
Wow.
He prayed every day, and eventually it said he turned to Christianity. I'm like, if you're praying every day, you're probably a bit Christian to start with. Anyway, so he became St. Yeah. Patrick. He then went back home to learn more about this Christianity thing. As he escaped from Ireland, he snuck off one day and he fled. When he got back to Britain, he didn't know where he was, so he wandered for 28 days in the wilderness, which just shows you how empty Britain was in the early 5th century. I'm not sure you could wander 28 days anywhere now and still be lost.
These people who go wandering in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Like, how big is your lunchbox?
Yeah, you'll hit Keswick eventually. It's not...
Kendall Mint Cake. I'm just saying, yeah. You can't go wandering in the wilderness for 28 days.
No, it's not responsible. We have to send out the helicopter rescue after you.
I mean, would you fill your rucksack with toilet paper?
he got very hungry after 28 days, and so he'd again done one of them prayers. And guess what? A wild boar turned up, and so he ate that.
No.
Yep.
Oh.
Then he went home.
Thanks, Jesus.
Learned all about Christianity, became St. Patrick, as you do, and went back to Ireland, having had a vision that the people of Ireland asked him to come back. And he went back and he got rid of all the snakes, except he didn't, because according to the fossil record, there have been no snakes in Ireland since the last ice age. Sorry about that, right, Patrick. He may have had one of those, like, tiger scaring sticks where you say, well, it's just as well I've got my stick because it scares away all the tigers. But there aren't any tigers, precisely.
I don't know about tiger scaring sticks. Is that just a wibbly stick?
Yeah, it's just any old stick you've got. And you say, it's my tiger scaring stick, and you go, what? And you go, yeah, see, it works. There aren't any tigers around here. Yeah, I know. Good, isn't it?
Oh, I see.
The absence...
That's... Sorry.
The absence of snakes in Ireland was first remarked 200 years earlier by Gaius Julius Silenus. So, sorry about that. Well, I mean, some people think the snakes were metaphors for druids. Or maybe he was just telling fibs and had a magic stick he wanted to impress people with.
Do you think comedians in Ireland, you know, it was sort of the trope like white dog poo? It's like, oh, you never see an Irish snake anymore, do you?
Let's ask Andrew Maxwell.
Ever since that ice age. Yeah. Fine. I'm going to take you to the 17th of March, 1860. And the first Taranaki War begins in Taranaki, New Zealand. And it was when it all properly kicked off with the New Zealand Wars. It's one of those things that you don't so much get taught about at GCSE level history.
I don't know anything about this.
No. Well, have a guess what was going on there. See if you can just have a guess.
Okay. What do they have in New Zealand? What year was this?
The Maori. This was 1860.
Okay, 1860. So is it sheep rustling?
Effectively, it was the British awarding themselves parcels of land in New Zealand. And the Maori people who lived on it saying, sorry.
That's my garage.
Don't think so, mate.
What's it got? My flag in it.
18,000 British troops, supported by artillery, cavalry, and local militia, went to beat the living daylights out of 4,000 Maori warriors.
Yes, I mean, the key words there are artillery and cavalry, which do make up 9/10 of the law.
Yes, and the Maori, I mean, were incredible, and they had anti-artillery bunkers. They built sort of brilliant fortified villages that if they needed to, and inevitably they did, they could abandon really fast.
Right.
But they could fight hard and intensively and then sort of retreat.
Disappear.
Cleverly. Yeah. But it was awful.
Yeah.
800 Europeans were lost. Probably 2,100 Maori. Oh. It was not a fair fight. It was a shocking thing, and I'm very sorry. As another one of our Apologia editions, just like every date fight, I'm very sorry on behalf of my ancestors.
Date Fight, the podcast telling you why you should be ashamed today.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Why can't I be proud of being English? How long have you got? How long?
Something to appall you about
because
your history for every day of the year.
Yes.
Every single day we can do this. What does that tell you? Let's do the birthdays. It's St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day, because he got captured by the pirates today. So, happy St. Patrick's Day. Also, happy birthday to Edmund Kean, the 18th century Shakespearean actor who I pretty much imagined was exactly the actors from Blackadder 3. Happy birthday to butter-voiced baritone Nat King Cole, who is probably best known for his series of Allied Dunbar adverts in the mid-1990s. Happy birthday to Stephanie Clifford, or Stormy Daniels, who is known for many things, but I thought we'd mention that she was a multiple blue ribbon winner for equestrian events. Well done, Stormy Daniels.
Yes, she's a very good multiple blue ribbon winner for equestrian events.
So I've heard.
Yeah. Good.
Happy Death Day to Lulac the Unfortunate of Scotland. He wasn't just called Lulac the Unfortunate, he was also called Lulac the Foolish, and he survived a couple of months as king before he was killed by Malcolm the Third, which I just find a funny phrase. Malcolm the Third. Happy Death Day to Harold Harefoot.
Yeah, well, all I'm going to say is, if Malcolm the Third had heard you laughing like that, you would have lasted as long as Lulac the Unfortunate.
Happy Death.
Malcolm did not like that sort of response.
Happy Death Day to Harold Harefoot. He wanted to be he was the King of England. He looked after England while the actual King, Harthacnut, Canute, was away in Norway, seeing to a rebellion. He had his other brother blinded when he arrived to try and take the throne back. And after he died, Harthacnut came back, had him dug up and thrown into a fen, which must be the worst thing you can do to a person. Presumably it was near Cambridge. Happy Death Day to Princess Sophia of Sweden, who proves that even being the daughter of a king doesn't protect you from absolutely terrible husbands. She married Duke Magnus of Saxe-Lauenburg, who regularly spat at her, shouted at her in public, and roundly abused her. At one point, he sold all of her jewellery to fund his wars. He made her go to her brother, King John, when her brother became king, and her brother gave him Ozil just to shut him up, which was a town. The people of Ozil promptly rose up and got rid of Magnus because he was so awful, and eventually King John had to exile him, at which point he slunk around Germany saying nasty things about his ex-wife, Princess Sophia of Sweden. Happy death day to her.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
The year is 1966.
Oh, is it?
And a B-52 bomber is flying over the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Spain.
Mm.
And its fuel load ignites and everybody on board dies and the plane breaks apart.
Oh.
And it lands in the sea. The slight problem with that, other than obviously the dead personnel, which is very sad.
I've spotted another one.
So far, we're all chuckling away.
It's all problems so far, yep.
There were 4 hydrogen bombs on board.
Oh, dear.
3 of them were found on land near the small fishing village of Palomares, which means filled underwear in Spanish. This is in the municipality of the Cuevas del Almanzora, Almeria. Ooh. I know you like it there. I don't know. The explosives detonated. It didn't actually do the proper full ignition of the weapons, but it did result in a lot of contamination.
As we can tell by the fact that Spain is still there.
Yeah, yeah, by plutonium. But the 4th one fell into the sea, and it was where is it?
And then they saw lots of three-headed fish swimming past, and they went, I reckon I know where it is.
Well, here was the thing. One guy... Yeah. Saw the bomb land in the sea.
Oh.
His name was Francisco Simo Ortz, who, of course, they called Bomb Paco or Bomb Frankie, depending on who you asked.
Good old Bomb Frankie.
Hey, Bomb Frankie, you seen any bombs today? So because he'd seen a sort of approximate location where it landed in the water, this new mathematical system for establishing the probability of where something was.
Yeah,
it's called the Bayesian search theory. Mm-hmm. They tried that, and it only took them 2.5 months.
Yeah.
But they found it. They found the bomb, and they pulled it out. And Bomb Frankie.
Well done, Bomb Frankie.
Well done, Bomb Frankie. We'll give you some. We'll give you some money. We'll give you some money,
yeah.
Because he actually claimed salvage rights. saying, well, hang on a minute.
Whoa.
I identified the location of that, and in maritime law, I should be getting a percentage of that. I should get 1 or 2% of that.
Nice.
Now, that hydrogen bomb was valued by the Secretary of Defense at $2 billion.
What?
Which in those days was a lot of money.
Yeah.
So it would have been like $40 million. The Air Force settled out of court for an undisclosed sum in later years. Seymour
$39.8 million.
Well, in later years, Bomb Frankie said, I never got any money. It never happened.
What? Yeah, poor old Bomb Frankie.
Anyway, it was on this day in 1966, the 17th of March, that they found that bomb. And there was a huge cleanup operation. It cost a huge amount of money. 40 years later, though, there were still traces of the contamination, mainly in snails.
Oh.
So what I'm saying is, if you are in Almeria and
a big fan of sea snails
are on the menu, don't so much... Maybe have an omelette.
Well, I'm going to take you 2 years closer to the present day, to the 17th of March, 1968, when, mysteriously, 6,000 sheep in the Skull Valley died in what became known as the Dugway Sheep Incident, which I think is a misnomer, because the people who did the incident weren't actually the sheep when you dig into it. That suggests that the sheep are responsible for this when it's very much people. So a livestock holder came out and found 6,000 sheep dead, and he phoned the nearby nerve agent testing ground.
Ring, ring. Oh, the customer service line's ringing.
Hello?
Hello, nerve agent testing facility.
Yes, I've just put out 6,000 of my sheep are dead. You don't know, you wouldn't know what might have happened.
Just one moment. Stephen, fella on the phone, 6,000 sheep dead. Do you want to... No, sorry, no, don't know anything about that. Bye-bye.
And that was essentially what happened.
Oh, really?
For 30 years, they didn't admit it was them. The Nerve Dugway Nerve Agent Testing Site. I mean, partially they did, because the next year, Richard Nixon outlawed any aerial testing of chemical weapons because the public was so outraged by the 6,000 dead sheep.
All right, but didn't care about the millions of other animals slaughtered every day for their burgers. Brilliant.
Nope. It's just the ones who... some of them didn't die straight away. They just lay there looking listless. Bleeding internally.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until 1998 that they accepted that it was probably a release of VX gas, because they had the day before been spraying fields with nerve agents.
Sorry, Stephen says it's almost certainly nothing to do with that.
No, he says no. And so, yes, so the Dugway sheep incident, which was definitely not to do with the sheep, happened on 17th of March 1968. Oh, the although the report in 1998 said it probably was the VX nerve agent they were using, they didn't accept responsibility and they didn't admit negligence.
Wow.
So that was good. Yeah. But it did clear up something that had been a real mystery for 30 years.
No one knows.
It's a real head scratcher.
What could it have been? Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for
listening.
And we, in a funny way, I mean, I'm not being funny, but we sort of need this podcast to go a bit viral.
Yes.
Because this coronavirus is affecting us too.
It is.
People aren't commuting so much, and they're not listening so much. So you, valid, noble, dedicated listener, please spread the word, because... just don't...
Because the commuters aren't commuting anymore. They're not listening.
Yeah, so don't spread anything else. If you only spread one thing today...
No.
Be a date fight super spreader. That's such bad taste. That's such bad taste. I'm so sorry. But you know what I'm saying?
That's advice from the chief medical officer.
Yes, and Caprice. Yes, sorry about that. We love you. Stay love safe you out there and wash your hands.
Yes. See you tomorrow.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, Central Ohio. The nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.